Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. Wonderful way to come into the show. 2 minutes past nine. Miles Blumsome sitting in for Matt Beadle on the Leighton Orient fan show with the team from the Low Down podcast. We've got loads of great stuff to talk about over the next hour. We're going to look, well, when I say great, firstly, we're going to look at how COVID-19 is affecting the club, how it's affecting League Two, how the guys from the Lowdown podcast are feeling about everything. We're actually going to talk to Leighton Orient player Joby McEnough, see how the players are coping. Of course, we have to talk about the FIFA tournament that Leighton Orient have set up. 128 clubs from around the world have signed up to Leighton Orient's great idea of a FIFA tournament, keep themselves busy over it's like a spring break that we're having from football at the moment because of COVID-19. I'm going to try and keep it as upbeat as possible. I know it's quite a difficult time for a lot of people. If you want to join the show, 0208 7020 558 is the number. We can see Leighton Orient taking on teams from Australia, from Denmark. I think I saw some Finnish teams in the list of teams that have signed up to this FIFA tournament. I mean, this sort of thing only does happen in FIFA, but it's not often that the clubs are signing them up and are starting them themselves. And little old Leighton Orient have had the best idea possible, I think, for this little stall in the league season. Joining me first from the Lowdown podcast is Dale Hall. Dale, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, very well, very well. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you feeling about everything? It's been a bit of a weird weekend, seemingly chasing our tails with not a lot to do.
Yeah, so it's one of those, isn't it, where you kind of, although I probably wasn't going to be going to the Bradford game, the fact that I couldn't go to it made me feel terrible. and then the Sunday, you kind of think, I've got the 4 o'clock, and then there's no football. And it's just a bit of a strange situation to find yourself in. I know football isn't the most important thing in this whole thing, but it does make you realise how much you miss it.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. How, in terms of your life at the moment, how are you being affected by COVID-19, by the coronavirus? Is it affecting you day to day at all?
Yeah, I think with the way that it was looking, it was one of those that was the. There was something in the background. It didn't have a personal effect on me as it stood. Since then, obviously, with the football being cancelled, that was when I was raging, to be fair. But obviously, it football isn't the important part. And then with work today, we're now kind of going into working from home. So kind of getting quarantined.
Yeah, I'm luckily that I'm still able to come into the studio. I'm still feeling fine. Let's talk about Leighton Orient then, because with the league being postponed, supposedly until the 4th of April, but I think we can pretty much put that in the until further notice box. The further notice could be on Wednesday, EFL having a meeting. I did ask the Brentford team this, but I asked this to you as well. Is there any way that you can see them actually coming to a conclusion as to how they're going to proceed, as we don't really know how much this virus is going to progress and going to spread in the coming months?
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's one of those where we don't know what's going to happen. From a very, you know, selfish point of view, in regards to the rest of this season for us, we weren't going to go up, we weren't going to go down. So the season was technically over anyway. But, you know, it's the other teams in the other divisions, how you're ever going to sort out promotions, relegations and champions. It's going to be a minefield.
What do you expect to see? Do you expect them to see them try to do something on Wednesday, or do you think it's going to be more a case of we'll have more news later?
Yeah, I can't see what they can tell us at the moment. I think until there is a seeable end date to this, they're not going to be able to. And I can't see that's coming anytime soon. As I say, from an Orient point of view, you mentioned it earlier with the FIFA tournament. At least we're trying to, you know, it'd be interesting to get everyone kind of on board, and the uptake for it's been amazing, and that's because everyone needs football in their life.
They absolutely do. Football and toilet paper at the moment, apparently.
Exactly.
Have you stocked up?
we're still 7 rolls left, so we've got enough time.
All right for now. So is Leyton Orient, this is first year back in the Football League after dropping out a couple of years ago. With this postponement of the league at the moment, you mentioned Leyton Orient won't go up, they won't go down, but the club will still rely on some of the revenues that they take from home games. How do you think the club's going to be affected? And League Two overall, there'll be a lot of clubs in the same boat. How is this going to affect the league as a whole?
Yeah, it is true. As I say, as in for the specifics, I wouldn't be able to comment, but it's a terrible impact on the club and also the surrounding businesses. If you look at some of the, like the independent, like the Royal Caf, for example, everyone goes in there on a match day. They probably expect to get a surge every 2 weeks with people coming in. And if that footfall isn't there, then that's, you know, that's, and if everyone's quarantined, then that's footfall they're not getting. And I think it will have a very bad effect on business from big to small. But yeah, in regards to the revenue, the club is going to struggle, and hopefully there will be provisions. But I think if you'd have asked us beforehand when we had the Italians in charge, there would be no chance that there'd be any kind of provision at all. And I just hope, because we're now run by sensible businessmen, they may have provisioned a bit for, not necessarily for this, but for a doomsday scenario as such.
Do you think they could really be expected to have provisioned for this? Because I say, we look at lower league football at the moment, even top league football, and some of the owners that are coming in and completely ruining clubs. It's so easy in this scenario to reference Bury completely folding, completely going into administration and ceasing to exist as a club. We've heard murmurs of how they're going to be reborn, but way down the football pyramid. For me, at the moment, a sensible businessman, a sensible owner, is just somebody who is operating the club within their means, within a decent operating budget that means that they can keep their head above the parapet and doesn't sort of almost try for a Hail Mary to necessarily get through the leagues. Surely, no owner can have planned in any way to have had the money aside with everything that takes to run a football club for this?
No, not necessarily for this, but you'd hope that there would be a little bit of liquidity somewhere to be able to, you know, if gates are falling, if they're predicting or they're budgeting for 5,500 and we're only getting 5,000, there's 500 that they must have budgeted something for. It's not going to be good. Like, there's no good news that's coming out of this for any business. But, you know, it's one of those that we won't see the tough side of it. But as you say, there's clubs that are being run in a lot worse ways than us. Danny Mack was on the show, 3-4 weeks ago, talking about sustainability. And like now, you kind of see that sustainability is the most important thing in the running of the club.
Let's bring in Julian Fern. Julian, again, from the Lowdown podcast. Julian, welcome to the show. How are you today? How are you finding everything?
Yeah, good evening. I think it's unprecedented, isn't it? You know, we've never been in this situation. And then sadly, I think it's all going to get worse. It's not going to get better. So I think one thing I'm pleased about our club is that they've headed this off early doors. I appreciate there's going to be operating costs that we're going to have to swallow up as a club, and what impact would that have us on in the summer if we go into the player transfers? Are we going to eat into those budgets? Those sort of things we're not privy to. But any business in this current time is going to struggle, and it's really down to how well we'll manage that deficit, that loss over the next season to be able to probably look into in 2 years down the line to get to a stronger position again, because it will have a big impact on us. Because I do feel football as a whole is going to suffer as much as any other business in the UK due to the circumstances we find ourselves in.
Well, yeah, you'd look at a team like Macclesfield Town down in League Two, who have barely paid players this year. For players have gone unpaid through the majority of 2020 so far. You just cannot see a club like that surviving this. Leyton Orient are lucky to be in a better position. When we talk about the effect on League Two as the whole, could we see a shortened League Two, or could we see quite a few teams having to come up from the National League if they survive this? Because it is environments like the League Two environment, and with the budgets the League Two clubs have, that the teams that aren't being run properly may not survive.
I think we had the situation in the National League last year when you looked at some of the teams who managed to get through that season, and you think, how did they do that? Based upon a couple of things. One is their home attendance, and secondly, how well they were being run. I'm not quite sure that we'll see more teams come up from the National League, because ultimately we were in the National League for a reason, like the teams are in the National League for a reason, and we're in League Two now for a reason. My sadness will be for any club. You know, we've seen Bury go earlier part of this year, Macclesfield and other clubs potentially could go by the wayside. And that is down to a handful of things. But the biggest factor there is poor management. And that's where I feel the EFL need to step up and help out these clubs, because they can't allow these things to go on more than they have done, because effectively that's ruining not just the club for those supporters who have followed that through thick and thin. It's actually ruined the whole ethos and the ecosystem of the football league, isn't it? Because by one person not doing things the correct way has a big impact on other people.
Yeah, so Julian, just because I asked Dale this before as well, the meeting on Wednesday from the EFL, the Premier League one on Thursday, can you see anything being resolved Wednesday? What would you like to see come out of this? If it can't be clarity on exactly what's going to happen, is there something that you think they need to do as a minimum?
I'm not sure what we could be, because ultimately I work for a business who are in the same situation. We are unsure what we do next, because ultimately we don't know what next looks like. We don't know how long this situation will go on for. For me, I think it's very difficult, because if you look at if we end the season as of now, that's it. There's not another game going to be played, and the results are where they are now. And that's so disappointing for those clubs who have done such a great job to get in the positions they have in at the top of the league. To play it through the latter part of the year, i.e. into the summer, has a big impact onto next season, transfer window, etc., etc., etc. So it's a really difficult one to call. I think for me is that we need the Football League and the Premier League needs to give an amount of time saying, if things don't progress or move by this date, that is the situation. So at least people can plan for that and understand where they are.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea, to give us a date where they can just say, you know what, we're just going to have to scrap it, or we're going to have to go on to next season, or just something. But it is such a difficult decision at this point in time. Up next, it's going to be exciting. We've just heard how the fans are coping and what the fans think need to be done. Shall we hear from one of the players? Joby McAnuff is going to be joining us.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. Miles Blumsome sitting in for Matt Beadle today, joined by the Lowdown podcast team. Julian Fern and Dale Halls are with me. We're also joined by a very special guest this evening, Joby McEnough, Leighton Orient player. Joby, welcome to the show. Are you keeping yourself busy? What are you doing?
Oh, good question. a strange time, with no football. But yeah, trying to keep busy and most importantly, trying to keep safe and healthy.
Have you been in contact with the rest of the players? Is the WhatsApp group still going? What are most of the boys doing?
I'll be honest, it's been strange because there's been a lot of uncertainty. I mean, the schedule was to be in this week and train. That was the last we sort of discussed on Friday, obviously, once we heard the games were cancelled and we weren't quite sure the extent, I suppose, of the outbreak and the severity of it, especially in this country. So obviously things have turned a little bit now and, we had an update this evening that we're going to be off for the rest of the week and, try and stay, again, as safe as we can and, particularly for those like myself who've got both my parents are over 70. My mother-in-law is she's had difficulties in terms of her health in the past. So, those of us that are around those at risk in particular, have to be very careful. And that's obviously the number one priority at this moment in time.
So when it comes to what the players have heard, and we're just talking about the EFL meeting on Wednesday, from a player's perspective, we don't know what's going to happen with coronavirus. We don't know how bad it's going to get. We don't know how long it's going to stay around for. Is there anything that, as players, you are wanting clarity on that you think they can actually provide clarity on Wednesday at the EFL meeting?
I think at this point it's very, very difficult to ask for clarity from a football point of view because it really is insignificant when you see the bigger picture and how much is at stake for everybody in the country. And listen, of course, it's something we all love, and for us it's a job, for the fans it's a passion and a lifelong passion, really, and something very special to them, each and every fan up and down the country. But listen, we'll leave it to the powers that be to try and sort of make some, I suppose, sense of what is a very, very difficult situation. But for us, the main thing is, the health of the masses. And I'm sure, like most people would agree, from our point of view, football is very much secondary at the moment.
Let's go. We've got Dale and Julian on the line as well. Dale, have you got what would you like to ask Joby? What do you want to hear about what's happening with the players at the moment?
Yeah, so I think you touched on it earlier. It's just kind of the way that the morale is kept up. It's just the WhatsApp groups. They don't stop. You have you still have the banter. You still have the people having a chuckle with the other people. Does that just carry on as normal? But as you say, you just kind of not knowing where you are.
Yeah, listen, we obviously have group chats. Or a group chat, a players one, obviously a staff one that I'm privy to as well at the moment. So, obviously everyone keeps in contact through that, shares information. Of course, the banter's flying as per usual. We're very fortunate, with our sports science department and medical department, they're very much, up to speed. So we've been given our daily activities. So it's not a matter of everyone just sitting at home twiddling their thumbs, which we wouldn't really want to do anyway, of course. We can get to an area that's safe and not too exposed. We've got sessions that we've got to be getting on with. So again, for us,
we're not used to not doing anything at this time of year, so it's actually quite nice to get out to a park and, you know, do a bit of running or get out on the bikes or whatever. And again, we're fortunate in this day and age that we've got all the apps now that you can send back the information, so everybody's checking in and logging their activity, so the fitness coaches know we're not skiving and sitting at home not doing absolutely anything. So again, you know, all we can do is be as ready as we can be when things do get resolved, whenever that is, you know, and make sure we're in as best condition as possible for when we go back in and get going again.
Junior,
Jobes. We've had Ross a couple of times on the show, and Ross has spoken about momentum, you know, and we've had a really gently undulating season, and we for utmost number of reasons. I think for me, the questions I would like to have sort of answered is that a player like yourself who came back into the fold last week from injury, how does this affect you, especially where you would expect him, would hope to be back on the pitch again last Saturday and again tomorrow night? What does that do for your sort of continued recovery?
Yeah, I think it is, in terms of a time point of view, frustrating. But again, I think that's looking at it from a really selfish point of view, if I'm being totally blunt. You know, of course, I'd love to have carried on and, you know, having just got back after being out so long, and I was really looking forward to, you know, the run in the last 10 games, being involved. I think that goes for us as a team, because as you say, it has been a real up and down season, difficult, you know, for obvious reasons. You know, we've not been able to find that consistency up until probably the last sort of 9 games. I'd say we've probably put a real good run of not just results, but performances together where we feel as though it's a little bit more like us. You know, our form's been good, you know, during that period of time. It's been very much playoff form. So, you know, we're obviously disappointed that it's come to this at this point in time. But from our point of view, it's got to be a mentality that whenever we get back to it, you know, we pick up where we've left off and really attack what is going to be left, hopefully, of the remainder of the season, whenever that is. So, you know, the main thing for us is proving, I suppose, to ourselves that, you know, we can be consistent and we can put some results together, which we have done. And again, when it is the time, when it is right, that we get straight back to it.
Now, Joby, as much as you've just said the sports science team have been working hard to make sure they get you all your programmes, another team at Leyton Orient have been working very hard and have been absolutely brilliant is the social media team. Now, at the weekend, first thing they did was they ran the Bradford game over Football Manager, did the simulation, a 1-0 loss. I want to get your reaction to this. Are you a bit disappointed that they've highlighted that it was a 1-0 loss? Do you think that that was definitely not what the result was going to be?
No, I'm more disappointed that I didn't start, actually. I was a bit gutted. Thought I might get the nod, since it was actually not real football. But no, obviously, it's you know, from their point of view, they've been absolutely amazing. You know, Elliot Byrne, who left over in, you know, a few weeks ago, who's been brilliant all up to this point. You know, holding down the fort, so to speak. And yeah, I think it's just really good to give the fans a bit of interaction, a bit of content, and clearly they're going to be missing, you know, the main thing, and that is a match on a Saturday. So again, a real brilliant idea, one that everyone could get involved in, and I suppose just take their mind off things a little bit, and, you know, still carry on that interaction with the football club, which is so important and such a special thing for us, I suppose, at Leyton Orient.
Okay, let's talk about the FIFA 20 tournament then. 128 teams have joined up to the Leyton Orient FIFA tournament, or what they've called Ultimate Quarantine, which, again, brilliant. That's the hashtag. Teams from all over the world. So you've got teams from Australia, Sydney FC are in there. I think I saw the Central Coast Mariners. You've got teams like FC Midtjylland as well. Everywhere, teams from everywhere are playing. Leyton Orient are hosting it. Firstly, there's going to be a representative from each club playing. Who is going to be put forward from Leyton Orient? Are you going to be taking the mantle? Are you going to be winning whatever this tournament's been called, the World Cup of FIFA from the professional clubs?
No, I will not be. I'm way too old now. I wish I had the time to play FIFA. I used to a long time ago, but I'd probably have to say, given his form, I'd say Sam Sargent would probably be the man. I've known he's come out in a few of the tournaments that the boys hold if we're away for pre-season, for example, or obviously now it's a lot of the time it's all online. So he'd certainly be my pick to go and represent.
So again, we're going to be potentially playing against the likes of Roma, Benfica, Leverkusen.
He might have his hands full beating one of them, but you know, I'm sure he'll give it a good bash. And you know, the response has been fantastic. I think it's 128 in literally, you know, such a short space of time. It's a fantastic response, and again, massive credit to Luke and Dan for coming up with it and obviously hosting it. And I'm actually really, really intrigued. My missus won't be happy. I might actually go out and get an Xbox to see if I can get involved now. But no, I think my days of playing are over. But it'll be really interesting. I'm looking forward to it, actually. It'll be really good.
Whoever does take the reins from Orient, what are you going to do to make sure they start you?
I've just got to throw my weight around a little bit, I think. I'd like to say I've still got a little influence over some of the younger lads. And I suppose if I can get him on to play Sam Sargent, then... I think he'll stick me in. I'd like to think so. If he doesn't, I'll be tired, to be fair. You'll have a few dirty looks when we come back in.
Hey, Joby, thanks for joining us. Stay safe, mate. Hopefully, when the season resumes, enjoy the rest of the season. Joby Mackenough there. Julian Dale, the FIFA tournament, just quickly before we head to a break, how confident are you that Leighton Orient, I know the stats of the players might not be quite up there with Man City, but whoever takes over from Orient, if they're good enough at FIFA, they could be anyone, surely.
Yeah, I think for me, I think the one thing that I've always wanted to happen is for Leighton Orient to play Lorient in France. And Lorient have now, and they've now signed up to the tournament, so that could actually happen.
Are you going to be actually, because they say representative from each club? We don't know if it's a player, we don't know if it's backroom staff, we don't know if it's a fan. How good are you two at FIFA?
Well, I'll let you ask my two sons, and I'm absolutely useless. I used to play online with one of the guys at work, and when my youngest, he's now at university, when I was losing, I used to get my youngest to jump on and pretend it was me. And my guy at work, probably about 2 years now, he thinks I'm a superstar, but reality is it's my 21-year-old son who is now. So I'm rubbish. But I actually think, going back to player, Sam Sargent, you read it on social media, you read it everywhere. Sam Sargent is the man. So if it's a player, I back Sam Sargent 100%. And I think I'd be very confident us getting to the finals.
So he's the one you want, Sam Sargent. So myself and the producer, Paddy, were talking earlier about what players we think would be great at FIFA. Both of us said Cristiano Ronaldo because he just lived the lifestyle. There'd be nothing else he'd do apart from FIFA and eat his boiled chicken. Messi'd probably pick up the remote and just be fantastic straight away. If Sam, for some reason, gets carpal tunnel or goes down injured or whatever happens so he can't play FIFA, have you guys got a backup option?
It's a tough one, isn't it? I think you've got to look at some of the younger players in the squad. As Joby alluded to there, I think some of the older players are a little bit more mature than to play that. So you're probably looking across some of those, like Raul Sassorio, Dan Hatley maybe, I'm not quite sure. But definitely, if Sam Sargent's fit, Sam Sargent's the man.
Yeah,
go on.
I reckon Juddy would probably be able to give it a go as well.
I reckon this could be the chance. This could be when one of the under-18s really steps into the first team. It's only on FIFA, but we don't mind. Except if they have to play themselves, they've got the worst stats, then we might have to have a word with them. Up next, let's have a look through to next season. Whenever that is, what Leighton Orient need to do to progress. Hopefully, a promotion push is what we'll be seeing in the next season, whether that's 2021, 21-22, 22-23, whenever we can get football back on. The news today is that Boris Johnson, who has done his first of his daily updates on coronavirus, on this COVID-19 outbreak, said to avoid pubs, travel and offices to stop the virus. We're also seeing that flights are being cancelled. We're seeing that train companies are asking for a handout because of the lack of passengers, as people are stopping to commute and stopping to travel, as people are staying at home. It's hard to know exactly what to do other than just to follow the government guidelines. If you feel like you might be feeling a bit peaky, if you're feeling a little bit sick, if you think for any reason you might have any of the symptoms, first thing to do is probably to stay at home, but also head to the government websites, to the NHS websites as well, because they have all the information that you're going to need. Let's look ahead to Leighton Orient next season next. It's just after 9:30. This is Love Sport London.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Just after 9:30, this is the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport London. Just over halfway through the show, Miles Blumsome here, filling in for Matt Beadle this week. I've got Julian Fern and Dale Halls from the Lowdown podcast with me as well. Next season, when that is, what that entails, we hope to have some clarity on Wednesday at the EFL meeting, but I think that's wishful thinking. Let's try to just have a little bit of a rest from coronavirus, from COVID-19. Julian, yourself first. Next season for Leighton Orient, what does the club need to do to progress?
I think the message was the same as the message from this year, is that we need to get some rigour in the league, back in the league. The Football League has been different. We left Football League 2 years ago and we returned to the EFL League Two, which is absolutely different than when we left it. I said the quality of play is better. The type of teams you're seeing in the lower leagues now, as you see in League One, League Two, the competition's fiercer. But reality is we're playing better football in that league, which is nice for a fan. But the other side of it, we come to the National League where it's a bit tougher to play a good quality of football week in, week out. So for Orient, for me, I think we need to move on from where we are now. Now Ross has got the job. He's got a rolling contract, which is going to give him a good go at this season. He's going to get his own pre-season, get his own players in. We do have a number of players out of contract, and those, I know those conversations are being had at the moment. We spoke to Ross a few weeks back and he explained that. But for me, I think one thing I was really pleased with this year, and I like to see more of it, is the loan market. We've had a good loan signing with Dal's best mate. I'll let Dal talk about the man himself, but George Marsh from Spurs, Kaziah Sterling. I know Kaziah, we haven't seen him play, he's only just come back from fitness, but I think that shows the respect that Leighton Orient have with Tottenham Hotspur now, to be able to send out their younger players out on loan for a long period of time with us. So I think that for me is going to be a pivotal point for us, is to mask our inefficiencies in certain areas with loan players from the Premier League.
Dale, George Marsh was just mentioned. Do you think there's any way that he could be back at Leighton Orient next season? We've said on loan from Tottenham Hotspur. He's a good young player. I know he's been in match day squads for Spurs in the past. Do you think he would find himself back in League Two next season, or is he more likely to be either breaking in at Tottenham or looking for maybe a Championship loan?
Yeah, so piggybacking on what Julian was saying there, hopefully we keep that link with Spurs, because George Marsh has come in, he's been played out of position and still looks absolutely class. If we could keep hold of him, that would be brilliant. But as you say, if he stays at Spurs and gets loaned back out, then they probably would want to test him at the next level. So it might be the fact that he goes to a League One club. If he gets the decision, hopefully we've made an impact on him and he'd like to stay here and see through the mission. I think you talk about Embleton having his say and getting his team in place effectively. If you look at the people that we have brought in, they are positives. As Julian said, my favourite is King Oos. Since Cisse's come in, he's been absolutely class. And if we can bring in more people like that, then, you know, hopefully next season looks a lot more positive.
Are there any players that you think need to be shifted on that could, whether it's for a lot of money to bring more money into the club, or players that you just think maybe aren't doing what you need done in the Leighton Orient side and need to be shifted? Are there many players at Leighton Orient that you think you can afford to get rid of at the moment?
I think that's a difficult one to ask. Sorry, Dale. I'm just saying it's a difficult one to ask, because we ultimately, some of the players have been brought in this season to replace some of the guys who left, Josh Caroma and Macaulay Bottom. I think that they've not had a run in the team enough to prove or show their worth. And now with this stop-start end of the season, again, they're not given that identity to go out there and say, this is how I am, what we do. So you've got the likes of Connor Wilkinson and
and who has been injured, been in and out the side. When he's in the side, it looks quality. So for me, he's probably a player that will be spotted up further up the food chain, if you like, you know, League One, Championship, because I think he's got it in him. But again, having that run of games. But Liang Goh's another one. Unfortunately, when he joined, I thought this is it. This is the guy who's going to sort of bash the door down to get us into League One. But unfortunately, he hasn't really done that. And I presume he could probably move on for a good fee. But reality is, if we don't shift anyone on and we just replace a few more players, as Dale was talking about, keep a couple of these signings who are coming on loan. You know, Kingus is absolutely one we need to keep because it's just revitalised our midfield. It's given us something that we've been crying out for two seasons, not just this year, for two seasons. And then look at that striking position, making sure Danny Johnson can score more. He's scored a couple of good goals now. The fox in the box, to play him like that, may put someone alongside him who's a little bit more effective than Connor and Lee. And then just shore up the club and just put a few signings in there, which will take us forward.
Dale, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think that's bang on. I think that the formation that we've been playing all season is kind of the 4-3-3. And since Cisse's come in, he's kind of shored that up, and Clay has become a totally different player. He's been amazing. I know we were saying there, just speaking to Joby, and it being frustrating that there's this break now, because with those three in the midfield, just to play him in front of those two, that would be a perfect position for him. And I would feel a lot more confident with the 4-3-3 with Joby playing in that position. But yeah, I think as long as we can keep the nucleus of the side, the ones that were kind of going out of contract have gone out on loan. There are still a few discussions, and it all depends on who we can re-sign and who we can keep to see where we need to strengthen in the summer.
Do you think with this break, and we were speaking about club finances earlier in the show, about some of the clubs maybe struggling to stay afloat in without having any attendances during the break in the season that we're seeing now for the coronavirus outbreak, and if that continues on, it's only going to get worse for these clubs, especially if the league's cancelled and they all of a sudden lose all of those revenues that they would have got from the home games especially and the away days as well. This is why the debate has raged on about about FA Cup replays in the past, about how much they mean to lower league clubs. Do you think it could be that because Leyton Orient is being run well, as you mentioned earlier, that actually coming out of this, Leyton Orient might find themselves in a strong position to sign players in comparison with some of the other teams in League Two that aren't being run as well and might need to spend every penny that they've got on just maintaining a football club?
I think Orient will be seen as going back to what I think we talked about earlier about Danny Mapkin talking about sustainability. I think we all joke and go, oh, sustainability, spend some more money, sign some great players. But if you are as an individual looking to say, I want to uproot my family, go to a football club, maybe outside where I'm currently living, and I want to be able to be paid week in, week out, there's not many clubs in the lower league with the type of club we are that's going to be very attractive, you know. So I'm confident we'll attract the right players and maintain and keep the right players. We are a well-oiled, well-run club. Yes, as fans, there's a lot of criticism around some of the commercial elements that goes on in the background. You know, we'll sell anything for a fiver. But the reality is, that's keeping us afloat. Yeah, our owners are not going to have got deep pockets. They're just good businessmen. I'd rather have a good businessman running their club, keeping us afloat and having that sustainability for season in, season out, instead of having these highs and lows. And no disrespect, and I was one of them, I put my hands up when the Italian era was there, when the man came in, threw his money at us, and everyone was sitting there going, great, we're going to be in the Premiership in 5 years' time, and you rip the you-know-what out of the backside of our club. We're paying the price now, but actually I feel happier now as a fan with the ownership and the way they do things than someone keeps throwing millions upon millions upon millions of pounds at the club and wanting instant success.
Dale, do you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I would say that's bang on again. I think in regards to we've all had one or two things this season where we've kind of said, oh, you know, it's another thing that they'll be able to sell, you know, the seat that you're sitting on if you're not there for more than 10 minutes. But there are a lot of these kind of things that are bringing in a lot of money to the club. I think the one that kind of gets everyone, all the away fans, it's all they talk about, is the Papa John's delivery at half time that goes to the dugout at the other end of the ground. And, you know, you laugh and people say, oh, that's, you know, that you're just getting money. But yes, we're getting money and, you know, it's a good talking point. So I can't see that's a negative thing.
We mentioned the loan market before, and this money could all come into that, because if the club's being well sustained, you don't necessarily have to have loads of money for big transfers. It can be about allocating a wage budget for getting a loan fee across and just paying loan players' wages. You've mentioned George Marsh earlier about a Premier League loan. Are there any other players that you've sort of seen in the Premier League, maybe younger players that have maybe appeared once or twice for sides, that you think maybe they're the types of players we'd like to see at Leyton Orient next season?
I think it's interesting there, because when Ross had his Meet the Manager event, we were talking about, because obviously we've got the link with Dean Smith at Aston Villa.
Yeah.
We were saying with the under-23s, would it be the fact that we would get first refusal on them? And by the way, he was saying it was, you know, actually relocating one of them down to London and paying everything like that. By the time you've paid all of that, then you might as well get an established League One player that's out of favour or something like that, like we've done with King Hoos. So it is interesting. Like, I think it would always be quite nice to see the youth. But if we're going to bring youth through, I'd much prefer us to bring our youth through. After having Lewis on the show last week, the fact that the amount of work that the academy do, I think it was brilliant. It was such a good insight last week.
Julian, what do you think in that regard? Do you want to see young players being brought through the academy as opposed to loaning them in from the Premier League clubs? Even though money again comes into it, the Premier League clubs have these absolutely incredible youth academies now.
So you look at that. I mean, Lewis shared his vision last week, and that for us sort of is our calling card, and has been for a number of years, although we do struggle against some of the Premiership sides. For me, I want to still see that flow of young talent coming through, getting the opportunity, then potentially going out on loan to National League sides or slightly lower down the pyramid to get that experience in men's football. But we still need to bring in players, and I think we've done it. We've seen every side of the coin over the last 4 years. We've seen the old timers coming through and trying to earn a few bob and not quite making it, and investing a lot of money in those. And we've seen some good loan signings. For me, I think the relationship with Spurs, I think we'll see that flourish more. There's the hierarchy relationship between Martin Ling, Ross and Spurs, so that, which is great, and we'll see that flourish. I'm always shocked, and I know probably I get spat upon by some Orient fans, but I'm always shocked that we don't do more with West Ham, you know, a club literally on our doorstep, and there's no potential players in my view there. I'm not a big West Ham follower, but there's going to be players in their youth setup who are local, going back to what Dale was saying. Ross was mentioned about bringing someone from Aston Villa all the way down here. The time we paid all the fees, you might as well, as I say, go and get an established player. So I like to see the Spurs relationship flourish more. I think what we've done with Kaiser Sterling, we signed him in the window. He was unfit. I think he is fit now. He's still been back at Spurs, so he would have probably been available for the last 10 games or so. But I think that's a sort of a letter of intent from Orient to say, look, we understand this kid is unfit. He's an exo. He's been around. We know he is. So we'll take him on and we'll give him an opportunity. But reality, that may be setting up an opportunity for next season to either bring him back or bring other players back who's going to bolster what we already have and some of the other signings we're going to make in the summer.
Yeah, we'll keep this chat going after the break. Remember, from the 31st of March, Love Sport's national stations, the only way of listening to Love Sport on DAB Radio across the UK. So you're listening to Love Sport London at the moment. What you need to do after the shows this evening, is hit auto tune, refresh or auto scan. They should be one of those buttons on your DAB radio or on your digital radio, or go into the menu and press auto tune. Then you won't miss out on any of your favourite Love Sport shows. It's just coming up to 10 to 10. This is Love Sport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Miles Blumsom here, sitting in for Matt Beadle on the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport London, joined by the Lowdown podcasters, Julian Fern and Dale Halls. We were just talking about next season and some of the transfer dealings. Just quickly, before we get into the end of the show, Julian, yourself first, where do you think Leighton Orient will end up next season? Is it a playoff push that we can expect?
I think we've got the ambition to do that. I think that's really key, and that's been shown not just by Ross's comments, but sort of the rest of the management team, the players, and the board. I think Kent is the expectation is very high. He wants us to do well, and we might as well challenge. So I would like to see the club do that. But for us, I think it's the next 2 years, the year after that for me. Next year is really the first year, full year under Ross. And if things continue how they have been for the last nine games, the continuity that we've had there and the momentum we'll get going into the summer, hopefully, next season will be a good season. But the year after will be a bumper season. I can truly see that Ross will have his firm foundation on and take us to the promised land, back to where we were, League One.
Dale, can you see it being a League One push next season?
I hope so, yeah. As I say, I think it might be a year too early for the playoffs. But I think top half finish, I think any, you know, the lowest I'd be wanting to finish is 12th. But to make that push and to actually make the playoffs would be the best, you know, the I think we can. It's not going to be an automatic, I don't think. So, yeah, playoffs would be the best that we could hope for.
Now, this evening's show is actually the last Leighton Orient fan show on Love Sport Radio for the foreseeable, for the time being anyway. It's my first time on the show, so...
Thanks, mate.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Was really good.
Yeah, I can. I'll take responsibility for that. Completely my fault. No, just before we finish off, as it's coming to an end, Julian, from yourself first, is there any like key moments you want to bring up, any people you want to thank? This is something that I shouldn't really be involved in as I've not been on the show at all in the past.
No, I think from my perspective, it's been absolutely a blast for all of us, you know, because we managed to get involved with places that we probably wouldn't have done just as fans. But the thing I've really, really enjoyed about it, and let's not forget Adam Sampson, who kicked us all off with us, who brought us all together to start the show, and the journey we've been on over the last few months and what have you, has been really great. The opportunity to speak to Ross, your manager, there's not many teams on this station who could say they've had him in the studio, had him on the phone, message, and we interview him every week at home and getting that openness there. But the good thing with that is that it's not just Ross, it's our CEO, it's our principal investor, it's our media team, it's our community team people, ex-players like Coxey, John Sitton and Glenn Wilkie. But for me, I think the biggest thing which I've been really proud of is our fan engagement. The fans have been super duper, and we've done this because we enjoy it, and we're not going to say we haven't, but we've done this because we want to get the voice of Orient out there to the wider community. And if we could do that, and we've raised that profile absolutely brilliantly, and our media team, as if you're talking about Joby with the whole thing that's who we're around this with no games, it makes me proud. It makes me proud to be a Leighton Orient fan, because I think it continues to put us on the map. We're quite a forward-thinking club. And I'm going to repeat, and I'm actually going to top trump the guy from the Brentford show I listened to earlier. He talks about Brentford being a wonderful community club. Orient are the best community club, and I'm very proud to be a fan.
Dale, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, I think you're bang on. I think in regards to... It's been a real pleasure, because I was only on my third, so I wasn't far behind you here. But yeah, as I say, thank you very much for letting us get involved with this. In regards to, you know, you get the full cross section of Orient has been on this from first team players to media managers, and I think that's the kind of the spirit that we want Orient to have. Once a no, always a no. The fact that you've still got players like Dean Cox that want to come back and talk about the club and, you know, look out for their results. It is part of a family, and as soon as you're there, you might not always agree with everyone in the family, but you'll always be there for them.
Yeah, I've had a great time over the last hour, I'll say that, and thank you for letting me be a part of it, even if it's only been a small part this time. Julian, what next for the Lowdown podcast? Where are we going to be able to find you? Are you still going to be giving us late and orient updates, I hope?
Yeah, we'll still continue. We're just sort of, because of the situation we find ourselves in at the moment, it's not much to report. But I'm really proud to say that we'll be going back out. We'll be back on radio in the new season with a local station in Essex, and that will be tweeted out at some point over the next 24 hours. But our thing is also we want to actually keep our relationship with Love Sport. There were some great things we could have done if we was allowed to come into the studios to the end of this season. And if that can come off in the new year or for at least for the last sort of 10 games, if it all switches on, great. If not, we've had a blast, and thank you, Love Sport Radio. Thank you very much. But more importantly, thank you for the Orient fans. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And from us here at Love Sport as well, and from the Love Sport listener, we have to thank you, everyone at the Lowdown podcast, everyone who's been involved in the Leighton Orient fan show in the past. Before I let you go, Julian, just a last word from you as the more of the stalwart on the show, on the station. With the COVID-19 pandemic, with the coronavirus outbreak that we're seeing at the moment, is there any last word you have on that just to the Leighton Orient fans?
Just for me, just to keep safe, keep your family safe, keep those around you safe, and make sure we're all here together to go into the new season and support Ross and the boys.
Thank you so much. That is it for the Leighton Orient fan show for now on Love Sport Radio. Julian Fern, Dale Halls from the Lowdown podcast, thank you very much for joining us. Like they said, keep an eye on the Lowdown podcast on Twitter to find out what they're going to be doing next and for all of the other Leighton Orient news. And just to find out how this FIFA 20 tournament's going to go, some other teams are going to be in this FIFA 20 tournament. QPR are going to be on it. Luton Town, they're going to be in the list of teams that I've seen that have signed up. Now, the next hour is first going to be QPR for half an hour and then Luton Town for half an hour. I wonder who they think they should put forward for this FIFA 20 tournament so they can win it and take home the global crown of the FIFA 20 tournament champions. What do they call it? The ultimate quarantine. I think it's fantastic. We'll do a QPR fan show next on Love Sport London.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.